I've been able to worship with you this morning throughout the day. I know that many of you come with many burdens, many worries, many fears and doubts. And perhaps you have come here seeking and desiring that you might have an experience with the Lord. Perhaps you came not really understanding why you came. But we're here now. And whatever struggle might be going on in your life, the Lord's answer to you is abide in me. You do not need to worry. There's no need for fear. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord loves you. And the scriptures are filled with that testimony of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost has borne record of it, I'm sure, in your life from time to time. But do you believe it? Has it taken root in your heart? Here and now is that opportunity. Nothing outside of this room matters anymore. Here we can find peace. When Jesus Christ walked the earth, he saw that the earth was filled with heaven. And he testified of it always. He saw his Father in everything. And he desires that we might see him also in the same way. That we might immerse ourselves in God and find that he is already with us. That he is in this very room and he is in your heart. This morning, as the priesthood gathered and we sang and we prayed, I could feel in the sunrise, I could see in the sunrise, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we see him every day? Do you know him? For me, I was born and raised in the church, but I often feel like a convert. I went my own way for a long time. And I'm sure my background is not so much different from many of you. I spent my time in the world, and I had no desire for God until he called me from darkness into his light. And there were so many things in the church that had been going on that I didn't understand, and they were new to me. And there was one day I was at outreach, and we had a youth gathering. And the people there, they started talking about the different acronyms that we have in the church. The different splits, the different remnants, the different groups. And I felt like as we kept talking, my heart breaking more and more. And I was filled with this sadness. And I felt like, what can I possibly do? And that night, when I went home, I prayed and I talked to the Lord. And I asked him, what have we done to your church? And what can we do now? What can I do? And the Lord answered, and he said very simply, come to know Jesus Christ. Not just to know something about him, not just to read words on a page, but that he lives within you. Until that testimony of Christ abides in each and every one of you, we cannot have that kingdom of God. And the Lord is calling and he's asking and he's inviting you even now. Abide in me. Immerse yourselves in me. And I know that that's hard. Because what it requires is sacrifice. I've heard it said that it doesn't take much to be a Latter-day Saint. In the sense that it doesn't take money, it doesn't take wealth or prosperity. The Lord doesn't require any of those things. But yet it requires all that we have. Because he's asking you to die for him. Because he died for you. No greater love hath any man and those that lay down their life for their friends. Christ views you as his friend, and he laid down his life for you. Not that we could live our life in sadness and in mourning, but that we might rejoice and know that there's a hope in His kingdom and that He's coming back. That we would not live in the world. That we would be strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Our calling is not out there. We find it here. We find our strength so that we can take that message elsewhere. And we need one another. I talked to Jacob for a long time this day, this afternoon, about the strength that we gain as we spend time with the saints. And it was shared this morning, a testimony of Elbert A. Smith, of why do we need one another? Why do we need to be together? A man had asked him that as they were staring into the fire. And instead of responding to him, he took his stick and he took an ember out of the fire and took it out. And slowly over time, it faded. And he said, that's why. And I very much appreciated that testimony this morning. I've tried so very much to do things on my own. We all have. And that's why we are here in this state that we're in today, broken. And we have no influence in the world around us. But we can be made new in Christ. That's the purpose of the restoration. That's what it means. To restore you in the image, that pure image of Jesus Christ. It is possible. And I know that because God has worked a mighty work in me. And I know He's done the same for you. There was a time in my life that I said out loud, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. He was the furthest thing from my mind. And yet the Lord spoke to me. He humbled me. And He called me out of that darkness. The time is for us to rejoice. We don't need to walk in darkness anymore. This week is an opportunity and a chance to see why we are here, why God made us, that He didn't make us for us to please ourselves. He made us to please Him. He desires that we might see Himself not only in all of the world around us and the environment that He made, but that we might see Him in one another. For the whole universe testifies of Christ. If you take the sun, every 24 hours, the sun gives off 386 million tons of gas and energy. Slowly over time, it's draining, it's weakening. And by the energy that it releases, it bombards this earth and it gives this earth life. By the sun's perpetual sacrifice, we have life. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. And He would call you now to look up and to see what He's called you to. Something greater than this world can ever offer. Everything about this world is designed to make you forget God. The prayer that we read this morning when we took the sacrament, that we make a covenant that we will witness unto God, that we always remember Him. How can you remember Him when the things of the world cloud our mind and our life? How many of you have met a friend or a family member that you haven't seen in weeks, and you ask them what's been going on in their life, and their answer is, I've been busy. We're so busy trying to make a life, we forget how to live one. And the only way that you can live a life is in Jesus Christ. And that message is not just for you, it's for the world. And you might be asking yourself, do I really know Jesus? I believe that you know Him more than you think you do. And I've shared this with many before, but I'll share it with you. I've gone into many homes. I've talked to many saints. And the thing that they struggle with the most is that God loves them. I've made so many mistakes. I have so many scars in my life. How can the Lord use me? Why would you think that way? Unless you knew that there's something more that God has called you to. How would you have that knowledge? How would you know that you've made a mistake? How do you know that you need to be more? It's because the Spirit of God dwells within you. And this church has a testimony of Christ that the rest of the world does not. He should be in our countenance. And I'm including myself, for I know that I fall short of the glory of God. But He offers that forgiveness. A couple months ago, I had a chance to preach at my branch at Outreach. And as I was preparing, I kept viewing all the burdens and the struggles that we go through in life. And I pictured them in my own life and how I felt broken and hurt and like a little child. And in that vision, the Lord Jesus Christ came in and He picked me up like a little child. And He carried me and sat me down. And He didn't say anything. And He put His hand on my shoulder. And in that moment, I could see all the times that I'd failed. All the times that I tried of my own might and my own strength to go it my way. And I failed every time. But the thing was, Jesus didn't say anything. He didn't point the finger and say, "Andrew, you're a failure, and this is why." He said, "I know that it's hard. I know that it's a struggle." And in that moment, I could see the prints in His hands and in His feet. And I understood that He knew what I was going through. And He took my hand and He said, "This time, rise with me. Take my hand and we will not fail." That's how we move forward. And the Lord desires to call us His people and that we might call Him our God. Does the Lord Jesus Christ dwell within you? If He does not yet, spend time with Him in prayer. Spend time with Him in fasting and studying the Scriptures. Spend time with Him with the saints. And every time that you do those things, you give Him power to work in your life. And I hope that if anything, that you will always believe that God is love. And that He gave His Son not only for the world, but for you. And nothing Satan can ever do can make God stop loving you. It's impossible. Satan has no power here when we believe in the love of God. And that should fill us with a great joy. But the greatest joy is not receiving God's love. It's giving it. And that's what He's called us all to do. To take part in this great and marvelous work. To share this gospel to the world. That we might be a witness unto others. That there's another way to live. That the world is filled with hatred. When they could have peace. They're filled with sadness and emptiness. When they could have joy and purpose and fulfillment. That's God's message for you. I'd like to read a scripture from 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 8, starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation, which means atonement, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, except them who believe. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in God, and God in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. If you desire to be immersed in God, we must dwell in love. I pray that this week we might practice that love and let our hearts be open to the Spirit, that we would be in an attitude of worship and prayer as we go forward this week, that we might remember those words, that as we become renewed and strengthened here, we can go out to the world. I was talking with a brother this morning. When he was younger, he shared time in a reunion. And he came back and he shared with some of the older members of the congregation. And he said, "Why can't we live that way always?" And they said, "Well, that's just camp." That's not true. Build up your defenses and your strengths now, so that when we go out into the world, we have something to hold on to. Satan is going to try and shake you. The world will try and shake you. They'll try to break you. But when you have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ abiding within you, nothing can overcome you. And I pray that you believe it, and we go forward and we might live it. Amen.